part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
TTN. We fucking rule all your asses.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And we got Stefan from the UK on the line.
Hey, hi.
This is episode 63, part two. And we're rocking out again with Sons of Butcher.
They have good harmonies, John.
I know, don't they? I like the beginning. We fucking rule your asses. We do, John and Scott.
That's right. And Stefan.
And we stole it from Sons of Butcher.
John and Scott and Stefan, nobody can touch us.
You know, right.
What I'm saying?
We're unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Dude, you're sounding a little hammered, man.
Who, me?
Yeah, in the break, I was listening to you talk, and you're like, hey,
I get very animated when I talk about my work, John. That's the only reason.
No doubt, man.
I am not hammered whatsoever.
All right, then. I'm sorry.
Now, a couple podcasts ago, because we're going to... Well, let me just say the last podcast, because let's just forget about the ad hoc lame altogether. Yeah. So, episode 62, we talked about Mel Gibson and his anti-Semitism. What do you call it?
Semitism.
Really?
Semitic remarks.
Anti-Semitic remarks. And he was completely hammered, John.
Yeah.
He got pulled over for the DUI. And he made some remarks about the Jewish people, about how they are all the cause of today's problems. And then he asked the arresting officer if he, in fact, was Jewish. And what wasn't reported, which we reported on the ad hoc lame episode, is he called one of the officers Sugar Tits, and she's going to be filing a grievance against the Mel Gibsons
to try to get some cash.
Because that is just not acceptable. You can call the Jews and say the Jews are responsible for all the problems in the world. Don't call me sugar tits. You know what I'm saying?
He didn't say that. He said all the wars in the world.
Wars.
The war, not the problems.
Problems, wars,
same
thing.
I got like a hemorrhoid. It's a Jew's fault.
Right. It could be.
According to Mel, right?
Could be that, like Lindsay Lohan, the issues she's having. It could be all the Jews' fault.
Right.
All the problems in the world caused That's, by the Jews.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
But I don't know. I don't know what the big deal is.
Now, Stefan, over in the UK, was this a big story?
No, not at all.
Not at all. And over here, it was like headline news for 3 or 4 days. And then after it died down, the news was celebrities coming out for Mel Gibson or celebrities.
Scott.
What?
In the UK, the royals are all over the map there, right?
Right.
Here, Hollywood, that's our royals.
Hollywood is our royals?
Mel is one of the royals here in the U.S.
All right, I'll accept
that. That's the equivalency.
Okay. And what is with that royal system over there? Are you about sick of that, Stefan?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a little bit out of date now, to say the least. But,
I can't believe you guys got to have a license to watch TV.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No, that's true.
You have to take a test?
No. TV. How can you? Now, let's see how you change channels while you're holding a beer.
So watching TV is not a right? It's a privilege?
No. Yeah, that's all to do with like the BBC and that. You've got to have a license if you want to, because it's all subsidized, isn't it?
Yeah, well, forget that, because the internets are here, okay?
That's right.
So they need to change their system, or they're going to be left behind with nothing. Zero. Zilch. Because you can go on the internet and see whatever you want. As a matter of fact, John, you can go to Google.
And see Scott's.
You can go to Google, type in catheter, and hit video, the video link. And you will see the greatest rockumentary ever put together.
That's right.
Outside of Spinal Tap.
That's right.
That's right.
It is. It's the catheter video.
All right. So Mel he got arrested. He made these remarks. And Jodie Foster said, she stuck up for Mel. She said, working with Mel Gibson, a friend of mine, he is no anti-Semite. Absolutely not, Foster said in Friday's Los Angeles Times. Mel is honest, loyal, kind, but alcoholism has been a lifelong struggle for him and his family.
Boo-hoo.
Now there's some bad news for John and Scott. County refuses to release Gibson tapes.
Damn it!
So the audio and video that they had of Mel during his arrest will never be released.
Yeah, well, it'll be released. Yeah,
well, hopefully it'll be released. Somebody will release it so we can play it here on John and Scott, AKC Total Talk Nonsense.
I have some of it.
You have
it's
some
right
of it?
Here, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm losing my mind! Ah, I'm insane with anger!
Is that when he tried to escape?
Yeah.
Ah, I'm insane with anger. I'm losing my mind.
All right. Now, when we first talked about this story, I asked you, John, I asked you this question. I said, when you're drunk, do you tell truths or untruths? And how did you respond?
I said, you tell truths.
You tell the truth.
Yeah.
And in my experience, I think that's what's happened. But then again, sometimes I black out.
I don't think we that's how we started the conversation, but it went into you drop all of your inhibitions, so you have no problem saying some of the things you would not normally say.
Not normally say, but the question is,
like
would
you said,
believe?
Hey, sugar tits, you wouldn't say that if you weren't hammered.
Right.
Hey, look at the tits on her, man. Woo! So that's not a truth? It's what you're thinking.
It's what you're thinking, but then again, because it lowers your inhibitions, and Stefan, whenever you want, just chime in here. When it lowers your inhibitions,
okay, yap.
what I was stuck on is that you tell the truth, but I have no way of knowing that because when I'm hammered, I really don't remember anything of what I said, so I may not tell the truth. Is what I'm saying.
Okay. It's so, what you're thinking.
It's what you're thinking.
It's not a matter of
right.
the truth or
it's
not.
It's not the truth or the
it's
untruth.
It's what you're thinking
it's
at that minute.
It's what thinking at
so
the time.
So whether you're drunk or not. And then come out and say, oh, I have this disease. I'm really screwed up. I'm so embarrassed. I'm really sorry.
All right. So you're not.
I was drunk, so I can do whatever I want because I was drunk.
Well, come on. He is apologizing. Right? He's making all the right moves.
Who cares?
All right. Now go
ahead.
I don't
think he needs to apologize. I just still think he's an asshole.
Well, this Jackie Mason clip. Go ahead and play the first clip. And I thought Jackie Mason was talking to me when he was saying this.
Yeah,
go ahead and
right.
play that.
Why are you so forgiving?
I'll be honest with you. It's not that I'm so forgiving. It's that all these people are very sick. They're getting a vicious, sick, perverted, sadistic thrill out of this whole thing.
Sick.
They look at the happiness about catching
them
because they're all basically failures where they never amounted to anything. Or there's actors who are struggling to make a living and they've always been envious and bitter and jealous of a guy who makes such a huge success. So now in the guise of being a great crusader against anti-Semitism, they found an excuse. It's all an excuse, a rationalization of throwing only excuse to bury this guy because they're enjoying it with such a sick, perverted pleasure.
But he did say nasty things. No. As a Jew, how do you feel about
that? Let me be very honest with you. Nobody could excuse these remarks. But do you ever take it so seriously when a guy is drunk and stupid, he's laying on the floor and he says some ridiculous things? People curse their own mother in a state like that. They tell their whole family to drop dead. I mean, the whole family would be going to a cemetery by Thursday.
But nevertheless, they say it's a truth serum. You don't
They say it's a truth serum. You got to be a moron. You got to be the phoniest, wretched fraud in the world to claim that it's a truth serum. If it's your family or your friends and they say something in a drunken state, you say he was drunk and you forget about it. In a drunken state, you might bang your head against the wall. Does that mean you really want to break your head?
Shut up. This is what I get out of that. I'm Jackie Mason and I'm a failure too. I haven't had a TV show and a movie since Caddyshack
2. Hey.
Defending Mel because I need to get my fucking face on the video
Stop.
TV.
Stop. Because you don't know anything about Jackie Mason,
fuck
all right?
You.
Jackie Mason was blackballed for that Commie Pinko crap back in the 50s. That's why it didn't work anywhere.
I'm talking about lately, knucklehead.
Lately, okay.
Yeah, sugar tits. I'm
Caddyshack
talking about
2 was one of the worst movies of all time. I agree with that, John. It was horrible. Jesus Christ, it was so bad.
Yeah. I think here, you want to hear my clip?
Yeah, let me hear your
from
clip.
From the Penn Jillette show?
Sure.
Here it is.
Now Mel Gibson is going to say, I'm fighting a battle with alcoholism. I had this slip. I'm just like you. I'm no better than you. And you're going to have people that are going, you know, I'm kind of like that too. I got really a little drunk one day and made a really racist comment to an African-American man that works in the garage. And that's okay because I'm just like Mel Gibson. Yes, you are just like Mel Gibson. And therefore, you should die. You are a pig. You are a monkey pig. He's not just saying that stuff because it pops into his head. It's not. If he was saying stuff he didn't mean, he would have said, oh, bowling balls fall out of trees, kill roosters. That's something you don't mean. That means nothing. Saying anti-Semitic stuff is stuff that you mean unless you're kidding. And he was not kidding. I know, you know, Gilbert Gottfried and I, Lisa Lampanelli and I, we all make jokes about being Jewish. This is not a joke. This is an anti-Semitic freakball who is stating exactly what he believes. He said it two ways now. He said it sober in the Passion of the Christ, and he said it drunk in a police station. Either one you believe, please, for the love of Christ, would you start judging Mel Gibson? Jack says this is ridiculous because everybody is going, he's going to just fall. And I love that he was doing a show on the Holocaust for CBS.
Yeah. Actually, it's ABC.
Yeah, so stupid-ass Penn.
Yeah, this Penn's a stupid-ass. Because
yeah, he said he, CBS. It's ABC. Everybody knows that. Well, and then, again, this is coming from a guy who's never had a drop of alcohol in his life. So,
I'm losing my mind!
How could he comment? Of course, everybody can comment. Everybody has their own opinion. But how can he be accurate, having never experienced being hammered?
Wait a minute. You just said, you say stuff and then you totally forget everything that happened. So
right.
He could be more accurate as an observer than you can be as a participant.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
So
do you know what that means, Stefan? I don't follow John's logic.
You're saying that if you drink, you can better judge a person than somebody who has never taken a drop.
No. All I'm saying is because I drink and I've had experiences where I've had too much to drink, I know what it's like to maybe say things that come out of nowhere. Like he said, a bowling ball drops on a rooster's head. But he's never had a drop of alcohol. So how could he comment on the experience of being drunk?
He's saying, he's not talking about the experience of being drunk. He starts out with the whole thing. The rant is much longer than that. And I cut it down just to that part, but the beginning he says,
well,
I'm, not
beautiful
talking,
cut, John.
I'm not talking about him being drunk. I don't really care about that. What he's talking about is the fact that Mel Gibson's father denied the Holocaust. He said stuff before in the past. He says he doesn't have to he doesn't have to lie or whatever. Here's some things he said. There is no salvation for those outside the church. I believe it. He said that about his own wife because she's Episcopalian.
So he believes in fairy tales. Big
deal. Okay, so if
the topic here is, do you say things that you really mean when you're drunk?
That's the question. So you're saying without a doubt, you know for sure that he didn't mean that.
I am not saying that.
Well, then what are you saying?
Who cares?
The guy's an anti-Semite. He's a prick. I don't like him. Ever since he came out with that bullshit movie, The Passion of the Christ.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
Wait, how can you even comment on it? You haven't even seen
because
it.
Because he came out and said that it's based on fact.
Oh, okay. Well, all right then. Yeah, I agree there. That's like coming out with Santa Claus 3 and saying it's based on fact.
It is, Scott.
Snot.
You're an ass.
You're an ass. You're an ass.
That is one big pile of shit.
Thomas Aquinas.
No, but he said shit like that before. One of the things he said was his father has never lied to him in his life.
Right.
Okay.
So which means the Holocaust didn't happen.
Right, it didn't happen.
Right. But I don't know. I just don't understand it.
I don't think he has to atone for the fact that he said he called, asked the cop if he was a Jew and said called the chick sugar tits and... Yeah, you say shit when you're drunk. Who cares? Why does he got to come out and apologize for all that stuff? Every person that gets drunk and hammered or whatever and says stuff, it's not in the paper. You don't have to come out and apologize.
Well, that's because they're not Mel Gibson.
Maybe if it's your own wife or if it's your kids or something and or your best friend or something, you said something stupid, you'd apologize to them because you said it to somebody specifically. But I think being persecuted about what he said is stupid. But the fact that I think he's a big fucking phony.
A phony.
So what fuck Jackie Mason.
I don't know what that means, a phony.
He's a
what do you
phony.
Mean? So what do you mean?
He's all bullshit.
So he's in Hollywood, which is pretty much the majority is Jewish people that run Hollywood. And he is just doing what he has to do to get what he needs done. And even though he hates the Jewish people, is what you're saying.
You nailed it. That's
how
exactly
he's phony?
It. Exactly.
Well, how does that...
That's just my
opinion. Wonder he's an alcoholic then.
Right.
Because...
it's a lot of pressure.
He hates these Jewish people, but he has to work with them
I don't know
to be
for
a success.
Sure. That's just my opinion.
No wonder he drinks, John.
What are you making a case for him to drink?
Yeah, I'm making a case for him to drink.
You're excusing him?
I'm not excusing him.
Yeah, you are.
Even Jackie Mason said there's no excuse for this shit that he said.
He could have bumped his head. You think he wanted to bump his head on purpose? On purpose?
You don't want to do that on purpose?
You don't want to do that on purpose?
Jackie Mason was the Aardvark on Pink Panther. Did you know that?
I'm only coming out here today because I haven't made jack shit in a long time. And I need to get on TV.
The residuals from Pink Panther? I'm paying them as much as I need them to.
Caddyshack 2 is not doing good in DVD sales. Remember that stupid TV show I had for about like a week? It sucked. Nobody watched it.
You do a killer Jackie Mason.
Thanks, man.
That's out of sight. Maybe we maybe can have Jackie Mason do a promo for us.
Oh man, we're never gonna get to the movies.
All right, let's get to the movies.
All right, what do we see?
Talladega Nights. John, I'll let you go first, and then I'll give you my opinion. Go
ahead. Talladega Nights is the Ballard. All right, we're out of Knob Creek, right? Good.
Yes.
Ballad of Ricky Bobby, and it stars Will Ferrell. You still there,
Stefan? Of course,
yeah,
he is.
Still
okay, he's still
yeah,
here.
Still
come
there.
On. Hey, I got a question before you continue, John.
Oh, Jesus
now this
Christ.
This movie
he
came out here in the States.
Has
it come out in the UK yet, or are you guys on like a 2-week, 3-week delay?
Yeah, we're sort of behind you guys in that, so yeah, I haven't seen this advertised.
Yeah, so it's not even out in the UK yet?
Not as far as I know. It
so
might
we'll
be
have to play spoiler warnings if we give up any spoilers.
Ah, right.
Because
well,
we're worldwide, John.
That's right.
That's right, baby.
What am I, fucking Scooby-Doo? That's right, Yankee. Roger. Oh, Yubi-Doo. Anyways, yeah, it's the Ballad of Ricky Bobby starring Will Ferrell, and it was, whatever, written and co-directed by John C. Reilly, who's also in it. Right? Am I right so far?
That is right.
Okay. And the great thing about it is some people think it's paying homage to the NASCAR racing world, and others believe, which I believe, they're totally making fun of it. And there's some great stuff where they pull stuff out of Days of Thunder with Tom Cruise. They even make a reference to him. Jesus, save me! Tom Cruise, save me! When he's on fire with the invisible fire.
Oh, see, I didn't think that was a reference to the movie. I thought that was a reference to Scientology. So Jesus, Buddha, Allah, Tom Cruise.
Oh, well, kind of. Yeah, that's good. I never thought of it that way. You're right. But Tom Cruise also... because of Days of Thunder. And if you notice, the chick who plays the assistant later on, she does that whole Nicole Kidman speech.
Right, she's redhead too.
Yeah. Oh, and she looks just like her. I thought it was one of the funniest goddamn movies I've seen in a long time.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Oh, we have a difference of opinion.
Dude, I had
John.
Some belly laughs going. I could not stop. I want to see it again.
I went with my lovely wife. And the
okay,
first 45 minutes, well, the very first joke, you know what I'm talking about, John? Where he's driving 160 miles an hour and the wife's in the back seat. Yeah. That very first joke, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. What? My wife's never going to let me pick another movie in the history of the world. So we have to sit through 45 minutes of this, and I'm like, oh, this is so horrible. It's horrible. And then the minute that he gets stripped, what happens is he's a race car driver, and he's very good. And then something happens, and he cannot be a race car driver anymore. And the second that that happened, that he had to start delivering pizzas.
Yeah.
For the next 20 minutes, I could not stop laughing. And what did it for me was Gary Cole, his dad.
Yeah.
The dad was the funniest goddamn thing I've ever seen.
Well, what do you want to call me? Okay, dickweed.
But the whole thing when he first shows up in his grandkids, or not his grandkids. Yeah. Gary Cole's grandkids. And they're mouthing off to him.
Yeah.
And that line he gives, that set me off right there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop laughing for 20 minutes.
Dude, I thought that was one of the funniest movies ever because I'm a big fan of Will Ferrell.
From the get-go you did that? You thought that?
Yeah.
Now, see,
because you were with your wife, man.
No. But the first,
you can't let your hair down.
Blah.
You cannot let your hair down.
Oh, that's BS.
Why don't you let it down once in a while?
The only funny thing in the first 45 minutes.
So your wife knows the real you.
The only funny thing in the first 45 minutes.
You know, darling.
Was when.
I'm so sorry.
He thought he was paralyzed and he stuck the knife in him.
That was great.
That was it. That was the only time I laughed.
That was the funniest goddamn thing ever.
But then when he became a pizza delivery person, then I could not stop laughing.
You didn't laugh at the prayer part about Jesus and the baby.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. You know why? I didn't laugh. And here's what we're talking about. He gives a prayer about the baby Jesus, and somebody says, well, wait a minute. Why do you always pray about the baby Jesus?
No, it's not
Jesus?
The prayer. It's grace.
Whatever. So
grace.
Why don't you pray about when he's
important.
A teenager? Why don't you pray about when
he's
an
beard.
Adult?
He's got a beard, right?
I like the baby Jesus. Oh, and
the
thing I did like about Will Ferrell was he gave a little W. There was a little W in his performance.
Yeah.
But he said, I like the baby Jesus. That's why I like to pray about the baby Jesus. I like to envision him as an infant, as in, you know, his little crib. And the whole time I watched that scene, I thought, you know, that would be funny on a podcast. That would be funny. In a movie.
Oh,
it's not funny.
It was funny.
No, I disagree.
Well,
but when he loses.
Well, it's obvious. You don't know what funny is.
It's obvious. But when he becomes the pizza man. That's when it really, the 20 minutes, I don't think I've laughed so hard in my entire life, John, is the 20 minutes after he becomes a pizza man. So I was ready to walk out of the movie. I could have walked out at 45 and I would have never experienced the giggles.
What about the French guy?
You know, I thought he could have done a much better job.
He did a terrible job. That's what was so funny about it.
Hold on, wait a minute.
If he pulled off a perfect French guy, it wouldn't have been funny at all.
Now, the French guy
the French guy voice he did was exactly Inspector Clouseau.
The French guy was Ali G.
Yeah, Rookie Booby.
You know who that is, Stefan? Ali G.
Yeah, he was pretty big over here.
He's from the UK, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
That's his real name.
Is he married?
I don't know if he's married. It may well be. I think it's Isla Fisher, Ginger Girl. I think he's married to. He used to be in a soap in Australia, Home and Away or something.
Nice. Ah, yeah. Nice. Yeah, but I thought he. Whatever.
Dude, you were in the wrong mind. If you went there with me, you would have been laughing your ass off from the get-go.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah,
I
would have. You would have.
I would have looked at you like, oh, are we seeing an Adam Sandler movie here? What is
whatever.
This?
Whatever. You would have been cracking up.
Yeah.
You'd have been dying.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you would have.
But the 20 minutes after he,
went there with your lovely wife, and you're going,
BS.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I took you to this movie lobby.
After the Chianti.
Let's go get some wine.
Let's get some.
Stop it.
To go with my wine.
This is ridiculous.
Let's get
this
some
movie.
Cheese to go with my wine.
How dare they? This is ridiculous. Of course.
Which your wife, I know, knows funny. And I bet she was sitting there going, oh, my God. Especially in that first scene, she probably said it first, and then you went, oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, what, there's nothing funny about that first joke. Nothing.
My wife.
Zero.
It's pretty
Zilch.
Funny. It's funny because they're taking the whole hillbilly thing to the 100,000th degree.
All they're right, going I'll give you that.
Way over the top
I'll
with
give
it.
You that.
And that's what cracked me up.
Well, a lot of it was ad-libbed, and some of it just didn't work, but it still made it in the movie. And I had to sit through it. That's what I'm saying.
Poor fucking baby.
Gary Cole, when he was on screen, I could not stop laughing.
I wish to God that, what's his name, Chris Rock falls in front of you and shows his naked ass 1,000 times. Just like in Dogma.
All right.
So I could sit there and hear... Oh, I didn't need to see that. Oh, the whole time Chris Rock is on the screen, Stefan, this is what I got to listen to. Oh, he's horrible. Horrible.
He is horrible. Everybody knows that. Everybody with a brain,
even,
half a brain knows that.
You can't even hear what's going on in the movie because the guy next to you with his garlic breath is going, Oh, and I had to see his ass. I didn't need to see that. That's horrible.
All right, John.
Horrible.
That's an excellent segue into our top 10 movie characters of all time.
Dude, we don't have time for that.
We don't. What
you
do you mean?
Better run it. We got 14 minutes.
14 minutes? We can get halfway through.
All right.
We'll carry it into part three. All right, John, you want to start with your number 10?
Oh, I always got to start.
You want, I can start.
No, no,
you want
I'll
me to start?
I'll start.
All right, man.
No, if you want to start.
All right, let me get my pages together.
Let me start.
Okay,
I'll
I can start.
I'll start.
Okay.
Mine is number 10 is Marty McFly.
Marty McFly.
Yes.
From one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yes, Back to the Future.
I love that movie.
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox, Marty McFly.
Yeah.
That's hot.
He's...
Is that it?
Yeah, man. He's, very clever. he's very clever. He always, he plays guitar. And
yeah, he does.
He's always trying to get out of stuff. You know, he's very clever how he gets out of shit. But his major flaw is persistent desire to show others that he isn't a coward.
He's not a coward.
And it gets him in a little bit of trouble.
What are you, Yella?
You're the Yella, yeah.
Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean? Are you telling me that this sucker is nuclear?
I mean, the guy gets to drive around in a DeLorean and travel and time travel. How cool is that?
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That is so ultimately cool. And he gets to have his mom have a crush on him.
Right.
How cool is that, John?
No doubt. So what's your number 10?
My number 10 is Jack Nicholson as the Joker in Batman. And the film that was supposed to be about the Dark Knight ended up being stolen right out from our eyes by the man with the brightest grin of the 90s. The man was the Joker.
That's why I didn't bother reading my copy. I don't want to... Here you go.
Not only that, but Prince was your main villain score. How awesome is that, John? Prince!
Oh, that makes him ultimately cool.
Life didn't fuck the Joker over in the movie quite the way it did in the comic, but it came close. Indiscriminate killing, not for revenge, but just for something to do. A man so evil, he'd have killed the world for the hell of it.
Nice.
That's showmanship.
The coolest.
No doubt.
Your
one
number
of my favorite.
10.
Yes, number 10.
You want to know my number 9?
Sure.
My number 9 is Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller.
Matthew Broderick.
That's out of sight.
From Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Ferris, in his day off, he enjoys a baseball game at Wrigley Field, dines at an elite restaurant, posing as Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago, and sneaks into a float. The Von Steuben Day Parade. Did you know that's what it was called?
Von Steuben.
Von Steuben Day yeah. Parade. And he lip syncs to Dunkashon. Dunkashon. Dunkashane. Sorry, Dunkashane. And the Beatles version of Twist and Shout. And I thought it was pretty awesome. He narrowly avoids his father all the time, and everybody in the school is worried about how sick he is, and some kids are taking up a collection, and his sister is really pissed off because everybody knows about it, and he knows the brother just totally blowing everybody off, and he creates this great contraption to fool his parents that he's sick. I thought it was great.
He's popular, and he can get out of any situation.
Anything.
And he's got a hot chick.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Fan-fucking-tastic,
John.
And he has
this to say.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
That's right.
Yeah.
You could miss it, John.
You could miss it.
All right, now, I got some audio clips for this, but let me give it the lead into my number nine, John, before you play my audio clips.
Okay.
My number nine is Jason Mewes, who plays Jay in Clerks.
You think he's the coolest?
He's one of the coolest. All he right. can steal the entire film, John. The entire right. film. My eyes could not leave Jason Mewes when he was on camera.
All right.
And his role was the beginning of the cock smoker legacy that we've
nice.
Known to
yes.
love. Go ahead. Play some
Dennis,
of his clips.
How many times have I told you not to be dealing in front of the store?
I'm not dealing, man. What are you talking about?
You got anything, man?
Yeah, man, what you want?
Our love for you is ticking clock, Berserker. Would you like to suck my cock, Berserker?
That's beautiful, man.
Shit, my guy makes you say, what's better, fucking a good play with nothing on it? No, wait, I fucked up. What's a good play with nothing on it?
Meaning?
Oh, no, she was seeing all shit. She used to fucking piss herself all the time. Come on, soundball, let's get the fuck out of this fucking jib joint with this fucking faggot Dante, you cock smoker.
What the fuck are you looking at? I'll kick your fucking ass. Shit, yeah. Throw that motherfucker owe me $10. No, fucking tonight we're gonna rip off this fucker's head, take out his fucking soul.
Nice.
There you have it.
It's beautiful.
The beginning of the cock smoker legacy, John.
Okay, we got to number eight.
Number eight.
My number eight is John McClane. Do you know what John McClane is?
Yeah, of course. Die Hard.
Die Hard. Bruce Willis. He's the fictional character and protagonist of the Die Hard trilogy film, Scott. He is played by Bruce Willis. McClane is loosely based on the fictional character Detective Joe Leland from Roderick Thorpe's novel Nothing Lasts Forever. He is depicted as an American cowboy, a running gag throughout the films, which in addition to McClane's catchphrase, Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, often has the villain comparing McClane to John Wayne.
John Wayne,
yeah,
John.
Here's my clips.
Who's not on my list.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Are you done?
No, go ahead.
He's not on your list? I think he's a cool motherfucker, man.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
No fucking shit, lady! Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
I thought he was great because he got out of anything and he tied a fucking fire hose around his waist, hung off the side of the building, jumped through a window, beat the shit out of all the bad guys, shot everybody up, blew everybody up, and saved his wife.
It's out of sight.
I don't know if that's something you want to admire, but I thought he was fucking cool as a cucumber in that. And one of my favorite lines is when he's going through the air duct, the air conditioning HVAC ductwork. He's got his lighter on, and he says, "Now I know what it feels like to be a TV dinner." And I don't know why, but for every time I see that part, I laugh my ass off.
And you think of TV dinners.
Yeah, I don't know why.
The Swanson.
It's funny. It's funny.
Okay.
That's my number eight.
Now, if John McClane was anti-Semitic, would it still be your number eight?
What?
like Mel Gibson. If he was like Mel Gibson.
I could give a shit.
He'd still be number eight.
As long as he doesn't come out and tell me that the Jesus Christ movie that he directed was based on fact.
Okay.
That's my biggest diss I have. I don't care if the guy's psycho and drunk and saying, sugar tits and all that. What do I care?
Yeah, what do you care? My number eight, John.
I think he just backs up the fact that he is.
My number eight, go ahead and play my number eight clip before I get into my soliloquy.
You don't have a number eight.
I don't have a number eight?
No, you don't.
No number eight.
There is no number eight, my friend.
Boy, I didn't do my homework.
Good job.
My number eight is Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones.
Nice.
Jones is the ultimate action hero, John. He's not just the superhuman wrecking machine. He's just the guy that has terribly bad luck and has to fight his way through it. With his fists and his wit. He's cool. He's charismatic, and he carries off the leather jacket and the fedora combo brilliantly.
Wow.
He found the Ark of the Covenant and...
Covenant?
Covenant. And the Holy Grail. No doubt. He is my number eight. Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones.
Excellent. Number seven now, right? Number seven. Mine is Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader is one of the coolest characters, played by James Earl Jones, especially in Star Wars 4, A New Hope, the one we saw back in the 70s. Vader is one of the most iconic villains in movie history and was ranked third on American Film Institute's Top 50 Villains of all time. In A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, Vader is depicted as the epitome of pure evil, a mass murderer and war criminal who holds an entire galaxy under the sway of an evil empire. And on a more personal scale, the apparent murderer of Luke Skywalker's father, Anakin. A dark lord of the Sith, Vader serves as Emperor Palpatine's right hand, using the dark side of the Force to mercilessly pursue the Jedi and Rebel Alliance to the ends of the galaxy.
And he's a big loser at the end.
Yeah.
He's a big loser.
But he's one of the coolest characters,
one of the coolest,
man.
Until he's a big loser.
Crafts that fucking saber. What do you mean he's a big loser?
He's a big loser.
He shows that he's the chosen one.
What are you talking about? Shows that he's the chosen one.
You knucklehead. He's the one who throws the Emperor down the fucking shaft.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
He's the one who saves the day.
Just like Pontius Pilate saved the day, right?
What? What are you talking about, you dumbass? This isn't an Allegory of Christ movie, you knucklehead.
Sure it is.
It's not.
It is too.
Then who's the Christ character?
Luke Skywalker.
What? When does he get beaten and beaten and beaten in front of his peers?
He gets beaten by his own father, the Lord, Darth Vader.
Yeah, everybody gets beaten in that movie. Han Solo gets beaten. Obi-Wan is killed. Come on.
Come on.
It's crap.
Total crap. Well, my number seven, John, go ahead and play. I know I have seven clips.
Play all fucking 30.
Oh, behave. Oh, groovy, baby.
Okay, name. Austin Danger Powers. Sex? Yes, please.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
Shall we shag now or shall we shag later? I'm just trying to get a rise out of you, that's all, for shits and giggles.
My number seven, John, Mike Myers and Austin Powers. Now, these movies are barely watchable, but this character is one of the greatest of all time, in my opinion. One of the greatest. Something about Mike Myers and with that English accent, and somebody mentioned that his dad was English. And he grew up in the 60s, and there's a very, I think it was Pauly B, there's a very specific 60s English accent, and Austin Powers or Mike Myers nails it, and something about that, and with the glasses and the stupid hair and the flamboyant clothes.
Yeah.
Outstanding character. The movies never lived up to how great this character is, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah, but he's my number seven.
Oh, all right. It's great, man. Excellent.
Thank you.
My number six. You ready?
I'm ready.
Get away from her, you bitch!
That's my number six.
That's out of sight, man.
Sergeant Ellen Ripley. Not in Alien 1. She was okay in Alien, but in Aliens, the one directed by Kirk Cameron. Is that it?
Kirk Cameron.
James Cameron?
That's not it. Yeah, James Cameron, man. Aliens.
The depiction
plural.
Of female characters, especially Ripley and the ultra macho Private Vasquez, as fearless warriors made a considerable impression in the North American perception of women in action films, particularly in futuristic science fiction. So I thought she was fucking awesome, man. She just kicked ass, took names. She overtook that whole Marine platoon, whipped them into shape, got them to understand how vicious this enemy was, saved the kid, ended up trusting the android eventually because she had this weird feeling about the android. She had a great judgment throughout the whole picture. I thought she was on one of the coolest characters
and
of all time.
One of the things about that is at the very beginning of the movie, she had no credibility whatsoever. And as
they stripped her of everything.
Right. And then,
She had to earn it, and she took control, and they were like,
God damn,
damn
it. You know what that makes me think? I skipped somebody. I missed somebody. This would have been number one or two on my list, and I didn't even think of it. It's from the same movie, Bishop, played by, who played him? The guy, the comedian. What's his name?
Bishop.
Not Bishop. Not
David Brenner?
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
The bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. What was his fucking name? I don't know. He's so memorable.
But that was the best role he's ever had in his career.
Beverly Hills Cop. He was in.
Right. In the sitcom for 10 years that nobody remembers.
Yeah.
Bishop, right?
No,
he was Bishop.
He was not.
Who was Bishop?
The android.
Oh, Bishop was the android. That's right. So he was Burke. He was Burke.
Yeah,
Carter
Burke.
Burke.
Yeah.
The guy who played Carter Burke should be on my top 10. I neglected to even think about him, but he would be in my top 5, no doubt.
I'm so disappointed in you. I'm disappointed.
Carter Burke. Whoever played Carter Burke in Aliens.
And then he gets fucked up.
I neglected to leave him.
It's one of the coolest.
One of the coolest.
He was terrible.
He was outstanding. That character.
Because he's tried to fuck her over?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, my number 6, John. You go ahead and play the audio if you have it available.
What Jefferson was saying was, hey, you know, we left this England place because it was bogus. So if we don't get some cool rules ourselves, pronto, we'll just be bogus too. Yeah?
Yeah.
Did I do something wrong, Mr. Hamm?
My brother's going to kill us. He's gonna kill us. He's gonna kill you and he's gonna kill me. He's gonna kill us.
Hey, man, just be glad I had fast reflexes.
My brother's gonna shit.
Make up your mind, dude. Is he gonna shit or is he gonna kill us?
First he's gonna shit, then he's gonna kill us.
Relax, all right? My old man, he's a television repairman. Got this ultimate set of tools. I can fix it.
You can't fix this car, Smacaulay.
I can fix it.
Bud, what's your problem?
No problem at all. I think you know where the front office is.
You dick!
It's great. Yeah, I forgot about Spicoli.
My number 6 is Sean Penn as Spicoli in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. And the clip that I couldn't find was... Eating some pizza.
Learn about Cuba. You ever see that movie, Stefan?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, you got what?
Oh, my God.
Come on. You got to go out and get that right now.
The ultimate California septic movie.
California septic high school movie.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Where he bangs himself on the head with a shoe and then asks his friend on the phone, do you hear that? What's that? That's my skull, man. I'm so wasted.
And don't forget about Phoebe Cates, man.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
No doubt.
All right, what do you got? Number 5.
I don't have, I had a sound bite, and I lost it.
Lost the sound bite.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what it is. My number 5 is Luke Jackson. Do you know who that is?
I have no idea who Luke Jackson is.
Cool Hand Luke, my friend.
Cool Hand Luke. Paul Newman.
Newman stars in the title role as Luke, a prisoner in a Florida prison camp who refuses to submit to the system His inability to conform drives the plot of the movie. In the same vein as characters such as Winston from 1984 or McMurphy from One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Luke is sent to the prison camp for cutting the heads off of parking meters one drunken night. And when asked what kind of thing that is for a man to do, his explanation is, small town, not much to do in the evening. Mostly just settling up old scores. The character of Luke is often interpreted allegorically as a Christ figure, and the film plays on many aspects of the story of Jesus. When Luke finds out his mother has died, he sings the Plastic Jesus song, and I had it, and I fucking lost it. It's funnier than shit.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
You gotta see that movie,
Stefan,
man.
Stefan, have you seen that movie, Cool Hand Luke?
It's another film I haven't seen.
Haven't seen it. All right, then.
Man.
Got to write these things down.
I'm writing them down.
It's a great movie. I mean, he gets everybody on. He takes a beating from this guy, just beats the shit out of him, and he keeps standing up and takes another and another. And the guy keeps telling him, you better lay down, dude. I'm just going to keep beating you, and he keeps standing up. Takes a swing at the dude, misses, and the guy just beats him some more. And the whole crowd at first is like for the other guy to beat him up. And then they start feeling for Luke and going, what the fuck, man? Hey, leave him alone. Leave him alone. And he ends up the name, how he got the name Cool Hand Luke is how he was playing five card stud and he beat everybody by just bluffing on one hand. He didn't have jack shit. And the other character in the movie says, oh, man. That's one cool hand Luke, and that's how he gets his name.
Sweet.
But it's a great, dude, you got to see that movie.
Gotta
I can't believe
it,
you
man.
Haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
That's a great movie.
All right, then, moving on to my number five. We're on number five. Is that right, John?
Yeah.
My number five. Go ahead and play those clips, number five.
Your clips?
My number five.
All right.
I'm George. George McFly. I'm your density. She told me to tell you that she wants you to ask her to the Enchantment Under the Sea dance.
Really?
Oh, yeah. All you gotta do is go over there and ask her.
What, right here, right now in the cafeteria? What if she said no? I don't know if I could take that kind of a rejection.
Oh, you make it sound so easy.
Change your mind, George. Last night, Darth Vader came down from planet Vulcan and told me that if I didn't take Lorraine out, that he'd melt my brain.
Yeah, well, let's just keep this brain-melting stuff to ourselves, okay?
Hey, you, get your damn hands off her.
Sweet.
Nice.
Crispin Glover is George McFly.
Crispy Gloves.
Crispy Gloves is George McFly. And what made that movie for me, I mean, Michael J. Fox did a very outstanding performance. But what made that movie for me was George McFly and Biff, the guy played Biff, and those two, and how George McFly morphed into this complete nerd, to this suave author at the very end. And I was just blown away by Crispin Glover's performance in that movie. One of my favorite characters, George McFly.
All right, well, we're way over, man. We're at 48 minutes.
So. All right, so we're going to come back with our top four then.
Yes.
We're down to our top four.
And then we
now, before
listen
we
to
get to our top,
top
four,
three.
Yeah, when do you want to give the top three there, Stefan? Your top three movie characters of all time. Do you want to give that as we're going out or as we're coming back in to part three, the heavy metal episode?
I think part three would be good.
Part all three. Right. We're going to wait for Stefan's top three. Do you have more than three? Do you have five
well,
by now?
I've got a few now, yeah.
He's got a few, all right.
Just off the top of my head, really. I don't know if they're the top ever.
Top of his head. And, you know, we
you
didn't give him
sound,
any time to prepare.
Sound clips?
Give me, yeah.
No.
No sound yeah. clips.
All right, we'll be back in a few. Just a click away, right?
Just a click away, John.
All right, we'll be right back.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.